going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning, everybody. It is really great to be here with all of you. It's great to be here in Buffalo and, of course, here at the Frank Meriwether Library. I want to thank all of our friends for joining us here today, especially those from the Buffalo and Erie County Public Libraries for hosting us today. And a special thank you to the branch manager, Joshua Mitch, and assistant deputy director for system services for the library here in Erie County, Dorinda Darden. They were especially helpful in getting this library opened up before it's packed with the neighborhood and we're disrupting everybody here today. But we really have a wonderful group of leaders that have joined us here today. Many had appointments or meetings, weren't able to be here, but we have an incredible amount of support from our government leaders at every single level of government. And that includes those that were able to make it here today, our county executive, Mark Poloncarz, our city of Buffalo mayor, Chris Scanlon, common council member, Zanetta Everhart, common council member, Mitch Nowakowski, our county comptroller, who just had to unfortunately sneak away to a meeting, but he wanted to show his support, Kevin Hardwick. And we have representatives of Assemblywoman Crystal People Stokes and Assemblyman Jonathan Rivera, who are, of course, busy doing the people's business down in Albany. And I believe we will be joined shortly by the majority leader of the Buffalo Common Council, Leah Halton Pope. We also have some wonderful community leaders you're going to hear from. Mama Charlene Caver Miller, a dear friend, as well as an incredible voice for our community. And Dr. Eva Doyle, who will be joining us shortly as well. So again, welcome to all. When people hear the word library, their mind immediately goes to a quiet space filled with books. And of course, it includes that. But libraries are much more than just a quiet place for books. Today's libraries are centers for research. They're a place for the community to come together, like the Dr. Eva Doyle Memorial Auditorium here today, a lifeline for families who cannot afford internet access, a safe place for our children to come after school to do their homework, and a place for seniors to continue their lifelong education and so much more. We're here today, though, because the Trump administration, with the support of Elon Musk, an unelected billionaire, is now targeting our nation's libraries. Make no mistake, they are targeting the funding for our libraries in Western New York, in New York State, and all across the nation to make cuts, to give tax breaks for billionaires and the ultra wealthy in this country. They are breaking the promise to Americans that rely on and pay for wonderful services that that our libraries give us each and every day. Last month, President Trump issued an executive order dismantling the Institute of Museum and Library Services, a federal agency created by an act of Congress back in 1996 that this past year alone provided $266 million for our library systems across the United States. In New York State, their support amounted to $8 million that helped to support programs such as summer reading programs, teen services, public programming, the New York State Online Electronic Library, along with training for library leaders, digitalization, and much, much more. We know that that funding is essential to the realization of the promise that our libraries give us and our children and our grandchildren each and every day throughout our communities. The fact is that every single penny that is cut from our library systems is money that needs to be made up at the state level or the county level, or else services are cut. And you know who has to pay for that? The local taxpayers. So in order for Elon Musk and President Trump to give a tax cut to billionaires and the ultra wealthy, they want us to pay more for library services, or they're saying cut those services altogether because libraries aren't essential. It's absolutely unacceptable and it's wrong-headed, and we're not standing for it. They're asking us to question at our libraries whether to put capital investments in or hire a new librarian or support a reading program or put in place services that'll help our children grow and realize the potential for their education. The decisions that are being made by the Trump administration's choice to prioritize billionaires over essential services that our most vulnerable communities rely on is absolutely despicable. This is one more example of the chipping away at our social safety nets, slowly eroding paths for families to lift themselves up out of poverty, to grow, and to learn, and to ultimately realize the American dream for themselves and their families. So we need to put our foot down, and that's what we're doing here today. We're making it clear that our public services are not a burden. They're not just another line item to cut to save Elon Musk and his billionaire buddies a few dollars. These are essential pillars in our community. Our libraries are a place of respite and growth and safety and education, the central point of our communities. They are not for sale, and they're not to be touched. Donald Trump and Elon Musk need to leave their hands off our libraries. They need to get another plan than gutting services to give the ultra wealthy a tax cut. And let me be clear, like so many of Donald Trump's executive orders, this also flies in the face of the law. The Institute of Museum and Library Services was created by an act of Congress. And those funds are obligated to be used to support libraries and museums, period. Anything else is illegal, a violation of the law. That's why I've issued a letter to the Trump administration demanding they stop this needless attack on our library systems, this illegal act that's being challenged by our great Attorney General Tish James and other AGs across this country in the courts. Because it is in fact illegal and it needs to be stopped, and we have faith that our judicial system will put an end to this nonsense. Libraries are not wasteful spending. They're among the best investments that we can make into our communities, and it must continue. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Dorinda Darden, the Assistant Deputy Director for System Services at the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library System. Dorinda.
Thank you, Congressman Kennedy. A correction, I just got promoted, so I am Deputy Director of Public Services for
just
the
now?
for the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library. And I have had the privilege over the years, I don't even know if Congressman remembers this, but when he was the chair of the South Buffalo Revitalization Committee, I was on that committee.
It was a long time ago. But I do remember.
I was a manager at the Dudley Branch Library at the time, so I did serve with him long ago.
I remember well.
So from the perspective of library administration, we are deeply troubled by the dismantling of the Institute of Museum and Library Services, which we call IMLS. So if you guys are okay with that, I'll just say that, okay? IMLS is the only federal agency dedicated to funding and supporting America's libraries, of which there are more than 125,000 throughout the United States. Eliminating the IMLS, this is going to deeply affect our library partners, fellow museums, and institutions here at home and across the country. Libraries play a critical role in democracy, and therefore we oppose any action that restricts library services. You may wonder, how does the decision of cutting IMLS affect the Buffalo and Erie County Public Libraries? Well, it is through the generosity of Erie County. Thank you, County Executive, our primary funding source, that we are not directly impacted by this major threat. However, since 1996, the Institute of Museum and Library Services and its grants to state programs have provided up to $8.1 million annually to support the New York State Library, including a majority of its employee positions. The State Library is responsible for distributing over $100 million in state operating aid support for all types of libraries, as well as $45 million in construction aid. The loss of that funding, a reduction in the funding, or delays in receipts would be devastating to our communities. Every year we rely on construction aid to help with building renovations, upgrades, and accessibility improvements for all patrons throughout the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library system, for which we have 37 libraries throughout Erie County. So what can you do to register your opposition to these cuts? Speak out, okay, that's the best thing. Reach out to your senators and your representatives to register your concern. Donate. Your donation to the Buffalo and Erie County Public Library will help lessen future impact on patron experiences and services. And lastly, show up, which you are doing today. Use your library, get a free library card, and I know everyone in this room has a library card. And if you don't, you can get one today, okay? And then lastly, join us in a conversation, our upcoming fundraiser event on May 9th, which will celebrate our libraries and their intersection on intellectual freedom, which you guys know is under attack. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Dorinda, and congratulations on the promotion. I will please charge that to my staff's head, not my heart. Next, a real champion for our community, especially for our libraries, the essential services that our tax dollars, as I mentioned earlier, go to pay for, and he's been on the front lines for many years fighting to make sure that our libraries not only have the effective resources all across Erie County, but that they get even more than they have ever been given before. So let's hear it for County Executive Mark Poloncarz.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you for hosting this event today and talking about this very, very important issue with the cuts in Washington, specifically attacking libraries and museums. Congratulations, Dorinda, on the promotion. I do have my library card. Last time I took it out, someone said, that's an older one. That's because I'm old. But I do use the libraries like hundreds of thousands of Western New Yorkers do every year. And we understand in Erie County the importance of our libraries and our library systems. That's why we invest more than $20 million of direct money coming out of the tax levy, which is specifically just for libraries on an annual basis to ensure our great Buffalo and Erie County public library system can continue. But not all communities are like that. They don't have the resources to do that. And that's why these cuts to the MLIS is so huge. We're talking about the heart and soul of communities. I go to libraries across our region just to check them out, and especially the ones in the county system, and they're always busy. And it's not the libraries of old where it's just, shh, you gotta be quiet because people are reading. It is used for so many different purposes, especially for education of our youngest citizens, which of course are our greatest investment, is what we do for our youngest citizens. Often when we talk about budgets and dollars and cents, people think of spreadsheets, and they think of the dollars and cents that are on a spreadsheet. But they don't think about what a budget really is, which is saying the priorities and the common sense solutions on how we can create a better community. And everything you need to know about the Trump administration and what Elon Musk is doing is with regard to this cut here. As the congressman noted, this is not being done because they don't have the money. The money's there. It's been allocated by Congress. It's being done to get continued tax breaks for the wealthiest of the wealthiest. Not just the 1%, the 1/10 of 1%, the Elon Musks and fellow billionaires. You know, we should be asking for more from Elon Musk and fellow billionaires. They should be contributing more towards our system. We have a social contract with all to ensure that we will provide services like libraries, like Medicare, like Medicaid, like Social Security. And we ask everyone to pay their fair share. And that's what this is about. We all put in, and we want back the great investments that we get when we invest in libraries such as this. So I want to thank the congressman for his advocacy on this. Everything you need to know about what's going on in Washington is exactly what's happening here. When you're cutting libraries and you're cutting museums to give a tax break to the wealthiest of the wealthiest, it tells you you don't care about the people in the country. You don't care about the people in our community who use libraries every day to advance themselves, to better themselves, to educate our young. And you're telling everyone you just don't care about what happens in communities, what happens on Jefferson Avenue, what happens on Main Streets. Because when you're more worried about getting a tax break for the wealthiest and not caring about whether their libraries close as a result of your decision, it tells you everything you need to know about those persons, and it's not good. So thank you, Congressman, for advocating for this, and I'm proud to stand, and I will continue to stand as much as possible to protect funding to libraries and museums. Thank you.
County Executive. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Thank you. How are you doing? Wonderful to see you.
Wonderful to see you.
I'm so happy to see Dr. Eva Doyle has joined us here, as I mentioned she would be. Next, another champion for our libraries, and on a very personal note, I know that he goes to the libraries with his children because I have seen him there. And every level of government is involved in this fight to save our community and the resources that provide for our community and our libraries, including our great mayor, Chris Scanlon. Mayor.
Thank you, Congressman. Thank you, Congressman. Good morning, everyone. I want to thank the Congressman for bringing all of us together today for this, obviously, this important issue and making sure that we're fighting back against these cuts. I also want to thank the fantastic partners in government I have, County Executive Mark Poloncarz, and everything they do at the county to support our library system, and my partners in government at the City of Buffalo, Maston District Councilwoman Zanette Everhart, Fillmore District Council Member Mitch Nowakowski, and Council Majority Leader and Ellicott District Councilwoman Leah Halton Pope. I also want to thank everyone from the library system that is here with us as well, and also our community advocates that are here, and some community mainstays and fighters for our community. We have Mama Charlene and Dr. Eva Doyle, and I would say to the President, you've met your match, you're in trouble. If anyone knows anything about these two incredible women. Obviously I'm here today in my official capacity as mayor, but as the congressman mentioned, I'm also the father of three young children. And Dorinda was the former, she ran the Dudley Branch Library, and that is the library that we attend. And I can tell you, not just being here on behalf of my children, but on behalf of the children and the adults of this entire community that benefit from the services of our museum and library system, I'm here to fight back against these cuts. You know, New York State receives millions of dollars from the IMLS program. And if you look around this facility, is there anyone here that wouldn't agree with what a fantastic facility this is, or argue the place and the role it plays in this community here in the city of Buffalo? And that's no different across this city, different areas across this city, across the county, across the state, and across this country. As it was mentioned, facilities like this are, they're not the old type libraries where it's quiet and you sit in a corner and read a book anymore. That does happen, but they're also, they're places of research and gathering places for communities, and that's the same all across this country. And we cannot let people at the federal level continue to make cuts that impact the fabric of our community. And that's what's exactly what will happen. The facilities like this and others, they provide literacy programs, they provide library training, they provide access to internet, which closes the digital divide that exists in many communities and eliminates a lot of the inequities that exist throughout our communities. A reduction in allocation to these services would be detrimental to so many communities throughout Buffalo and Western New York, but obviously across this state and this country as well. So again, I'm proud to be here today with my partners in government, partners in the library system, and the tremendous community advocates we have here today to say to the federal government, stop, keep your hands off of our libraries, keep your hands off of our museums, because they're the place of learning and research that our children in particular need. As the county executive mentioned, they're one of the important, most important things that we can invest in. They're our future. So it's imperative that we have facilities like this as we move forward. So I stand here today with all my partners to say, keep your hands off our libraries, keep your hands off of our museums, and I'll continue to do that every day that we people continue to try and take the resources that we desperately need. So thank you very much.
Thank you. We have, again, a couple of wonderful community advocates that are going to close us out in just a minute, but before we do, we have three members of the City Common Council who have joined us, and I think it's very important that their voices are heard as well. So without further ado, our wonderful majority leader of the Buffalo Common Council, Leah Halton Pope.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Congressman, for bringing us together. I hate that it's yet again to talk about pointless cuts by this administration. This historic library is not just a building with books in it. It is a hub. It is a community hub. It was designed by an African-American man, Robert Coles. In this place, you don't just get, and let me just be clear, I do have a library card. Dorinda knows this, but I also have a New York City library card as well because I'm an avid reader, and I've always been an avid reader. In this place, though, we have community meetings. We have small groups that gather. The library systems here in Buffalo, especially over in Erie County, have been the source of partnerships. It's a place where they've had pods for telehealth appointments. This is where translation services happen. It's our library systems. And so when you're cutting this way, you're taking away access to the entire world for our growing community. We have new Americans here in Buffalo, new Buffalonians. They're trying to navigate, people trying to connect to family members from all over the world, and they cannot, but they do come here to the library because there's a digital access problem. And right here at this particular library, it's probably one of the most used libraries in the city of Buffalo. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Dorinda, but I think I have the facts on this one. And as we're even sitting here, right, standing here now, there's work being done upstairs. New York State has provided funding for that construction to happen here. This can't happen if this, these resources are taken away, but these cuts from this unelected co-president and the person who occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Ave. I'm so grateful we have champions right here in the city of Buffalo and Congressman Kennedy. Without him, we would be struggling. We would be having more problems, but he can't do it alone. And so we have to stand together and fight collectively. This is time out for us to be working in silos and thinking about issues just as they relate to just us. These impact all of us. It's not just the constituents, but there's also workers who are here. This impacts their lives too. And if we don't have our libraries, access to history, access to stories, things that take you to new places. For some children, some adults, some individuals, this is the place where they escape the horrors of their life. because you learn, you get to explore different things, and you also get an opportunity to grow and become and get yourself out of the certain positions that you're in, because there's resources right here in the library, and we can't do that without any of them. So I'm grateful and happy that I get to stand with my colleagues in government and with the library system specifically to fight back in any way that I possibly can against this tyrant, this bully, these individuals. Lent is over, and I said I wouldn't cuss anymore, but I'm working through it, y'all. I'm working through it. But it's important that we're here today. And so thank you, Congressman, for everything that you do. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much, Majority Leader. Thank you, Majority Leader Halton Pope. Next, another incredible champion for our community, and not only no stranger to this library, but to books. The founder of Zanetta and Zaire's Book Club. I'm going to let her talk more about it, but a champion for literacy and especially our youth, but people of all ages. Maston District Councilwoman Zanetta Everhart.
Thank you, Congressman, and thank you for always coming back to Buffalo to make sure that we raise our voices around these issues and against this administration. You know, this 47th president has done so much harm in a very short time in the Buffalo community, in New York State, but across the country, quite frankly. And you know what? We're standing in a library. I love this library. The congressman is right. It is personal to me. Libraries are very personal to me. My favorite shirt that I have, it actually says, "Books saved my life." That is real. And it is very real because a library saved my life. As a child, I've never not been honest about my background and where I come from and the life that I lived as a child. I grew up in a tough upbringing, but the library at the corner of Bailey and East Delavan was a safe space for me. Books in that library saved my life. It was the space that I would go to daily. I remember the librarian, she used to actually start paying attention to me, and she would bring me snacks because she's like, this girl's here every day. Like, what is happening? And she became a mentor to me. Libraries literally saved me. They gave me a space. They gave me books to read. They gave me food to eat. And I fell in love with books. That's how I fell in love with books. I began writing and just reading crazy. And, you know, as I grew up and after I had my son now today, he is an avid reader. Zaire reads like three books a week. Like, he is a reader. But that started with me going to the library. That's why he is the way he is. That's why he's so intelligent, because books are so important to me. So important that my heart continues to break every time this administration does something else. But books? Right? Books. After 514, as all of you know, Zaire and I started Zanetta and Zaire's Book Club. This library, we've hosted multiple events in this library, bringing in dozens and dozens of kids to read and give out books and show them what a library has to offer them. It is very important that we are pouring more into our library systems and not cutting from them. Just a couple weeks ago, I was here, and we had five amazing authors in the city of Buffalo who have written numerous books, and they were here, and they did a talk back in the theater, and they signed their books. That's amazing. That's what libraries are. That is what they are supposed to be. And that's what the Meriwether Library does. That's what all of our libraries do all over the city of Buffalo. They're innovative, and they're bringing people from the community into these doors to learn and to grow. And this administration trying to take that away from us, trying to take away a book, it just doesn't make sense. But if you think deeper, it does make sense. He wants our country uninformed and uneducated. That's what they are trying to do. And that is a problem. And like I said at the last press conference and the one before that, every time the 47th president of the United States does something idiotic, I am going to be there and I am going to scream out about it. And we are coming for you. We're going to keep screaming and hollering at you because this is ridiculous. It's a library, sir. It is not threatening your life. It is a library. And so I want to thank the congressman and all my colleagues in government for standing up for this and speaking out on this. And I know that we're going to be successful in taking down this president. And I mean that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Everhart. Next, another champion, not just for the district he represents, which is the Lovejoy District in Fillmore District in the city of Buffalo. Forgive me. Don't tell Bowman I said that. But all over the city. You see him everywhere. Fresh off the trail at Dingus Day. Let's hear it for Fillmore District Councilman Mitch Nowakowski.
Thank you. I'm everywhere because I learned from you, Congressman. We are here in an effort to not be redundant or cynical, but the administration told us they were going to do this while they were campaigning for office. So I don't want people to be too surprised that now we see these cuts. So that's why it's really important that we stay engaged in our civic duty to vote and to pay attention, because elections have consequences and now we're facing them. But it's, if we're going to face them with anybody, it's going to be with our county executive, who is well known to have restored being public libraries after his predecessor wanted to cut them. And we're also joined by the congressman and the mayor, who have long demonstrated the use of public libraries in our city. And so for myself to use this library over the course of 6 years of being on the Common Council, I've used it for not only to see symposiums, I've been able to see movies, readings, lectures. I've used this space to bring my court-appointed mentee to show that there are resources that they can access to be able to be trained and to be able to gain access, if it's from the workforce or even to apply to college online. And so libraries have a multitude of uses that we use every single day. I use them usually in the month of June, where I host a story time that promotes inclusion of different families and people living with disabilities, because everybody, no matter who you are, deserves to see themselves represented in libraries and in literature. So I want to thank not only everyone that is behind me, because the road is going to be tough, but you only do that by standing up for what you believe in and standing together. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Councilman Nowakowski. And to close us out, two extraordinary leaders, two amazing women, fierce advocates for our community, history makers, civil rights leaders, and promoters of everything that is right and righteous for our community, and I would argue the nation. And as was mentioned, you heard the word trouble in the words of the late, great Congressman John Lewis. These ladies are making good trouble. And so first I'm gonna start with our dear friend, Mama Charlene Caver-Miller, to say a few words. Mama Char.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm not a woman of many words, more action. But anyway, what I would like to say is the library is very important to me. I'm from Alexandria, Virginia. Back in my days, I'm 80. Back in my days, there were no libraries. My mom and dad had six of us. If you didn't learn whatever in the library in your school, then you didn't get to the library. So we used to cry because we couldn't go to the library. The library was right on the next corner of where my father bought our house. We were not allowed to even go on the grounds nowhere near the library, or they would lock us up. So my mom and my dad got sick and tired of us crying to go to the library, because we would have to drive to Washington to go to the library. So we started picketing and marching to the City Hall, to Richmond, so we could go in the library. So when I moved to Buffalo, I was so happy they had a library, but it wasn't in my neighborhood. So one of my family members had the land here, was a part of the landowner, and I also knew the gentleman that built this. I was so happy that we had something in the neighborhood that I could bring the children and the community, and I'm in here every day. So the library is very important. I have meetings here, create block clubs here. I fill up We have a food refrigerator. I'm in here every day. I bug them. I don't do computers. They do the computer work for me. I don't even know how to use my cell phone. They do my cell phone. They do whatever I need here. This is home for me. When I can't find whatever I need to get done politically or writing a letter, I come here. They do it for me. I don't know how to email. They do it for me. Everything I need done, I can come here. This is home. These are my daughters. These are my sons. And this is my community. Also in this community, we have baby showers. It's not a baby shower. It's a community health organization. They come and tell women about pregnancy, men about how to also help take care of the babies, diaper services. All of that goes on in here. So this is a free space, a happy space, and a blessed space. And I thank God that we have it here because I need it, the seniors need it, and the children in the neighborhood need it. Thank you.
That's right. Thank you. And last, not only certainly not least, but I would say the best. And we are so honored to have her here with us, someone who has led in so many ways. She tells stories of our history to keep history alive. And just like Mama Shar, she is not only a student of history, but is living history. And so without further ado, please join me in welcoming Dr. Eva Doyle. Dr. Doyle.
Thank you very much. Greetings, everyone. I will start by saying this library is my second home. If you know anything about me and Mama Charlene, they call her Mama, they call me Mother Doyle. That's right. All over the city. I have taught in the Buffalo Public Schools for over 30 years, and I was known for two things: teaching African and African American history all year long to all students, regardless of race. And I was known for being successful with students they said could not learn. But when they came in my classroom, they learned. And I want to first thank Congressman Tim Kennedy, because he led the movement to have the auditorium in this library named after me. I have to let everybody know that. It's the Dr. Eva M. Doyle Auditorium. And before you leave, I want you to go over there and see that beautiful sign, black and gold. And Senator Kennedy, you led the charge, but I have not had a picture with you next to my sign, so don't leave. Don't leave until you come and have a picture. And I have all of my friends and back of me, all of my supporters. I have written 13 books on African and African American history. My column has appeared in the Buffalo News and several national newspapers. And the column is popular because I write about the little known facts of African and African American history. I'll give you just a few examples. The Statue of Liberty, the origin of the Statue of Liberty is in African history. And we have never been taught that. That's what I teach. I'm sure you all have seen the movie The Titanic. There's one thing they didn't show you in The Titanic. There was a black family on that ship, a well-known black family. You can look it up. I wrote it in the Buffalo News, and I got a phone call from a Caucasian couple, and they had went to the museum, and they saw their names, and they said they never knew that they were of African origin. And they were well-to-do, and they had mixed with some of the richest people and our nation on that boat. So these are the things I write about to let people know we have not really been taught our history. And I want to say this. When I started writing a column, they didn't have AI. They didn't have the computers like we have them today. I typed on an old-fashioned typewriter. And you had to use the carbon paper. And sometimes I wrote it out by hand. And I've said I've written 13 books. I'm working on my 14th book. And next year, I will be 80 years old. And all of my friends here, I want you all to come to the greatest celebration, the birthday party, in the history of this city. Mr. Paul Carr, he's what supported me. I want him there. Mr. Niekowski, Mr. he has a copy of my book. I went here, Mayor. He visited my church a couple of weeks ago. I want everybody there. And I want to say this to you. When they told me, when Senator Kennedy told me they were going to name the auditorium after me, I talked to the manager, and he said, Dr. Doar, do you realize, but when you reserve the library, the auditorium, you have to fill out a form. He said, we went through the files. Do you realize that you have done more than 100 programs in that auditorium for our young people, for our adults? And I'm going to finish because I don't want to. I don't do much protesting, but I'll tell you one thing. I got a message to the administration. If you try to take our libraries away, I will be walking in front of this library with my cane and a sign, hands off. This library is too important for this community. I started going to the library when I was 10 years old. Every Saturday, I will walk to the library and come home with an armload of books. So I just want to thank everybody who came. I want to thank my good friend and Congressman Kennedy. I'm going to take you by the arm and make sure you get over there.
I promise. I won't leave
you out of
picture.
And I thank everybody who's here, our council women and everybody. I think the whole city of Buffalo has supported me. All of these years, I've been writing this column for almost 50 years. I thank you all. And you have, and I can hear my son, he calls me Ma. He said, Ma, don't talk too long. So I'm gonna obey my son. And I thank you all for coming and support our libraries in the city and all around the nation. Thank you very much.
Wow, what a way to round it out. Thank you, Mother Doyle, Dr. Eva Doyle, once again for everything that you do. Mama Shar, that says it all. Open it up to any questions you may have. Well, again, you know, any cut to funding puts at risk the services that are provided not only here but in every library across our county, state, and country. And that's what they're doing. Ultimately, what they've gutted is $266 million for our libraries through the Institute of Museum and Library Services at the federal level. And that is an illegal act. We are challenging it. The Attorney General has stepped up with other Attorneys General across the country. It is in the courts. We're hopeful that the courts will see fit to restore that funding and make sure that it's functioning as it is legally expected to be. Thank you.
Do you happen to know how much of that would specifically be to the Western New York Library?
Yeah, we have all of that funding broken down for the state of New York. It's about a little over $8 million for Erie County. It's upwards of $1 million. So it's hundreds of thousands of dollars, but this is across various programs. Mm-hmm. And when you start rolling back program after program after program, what ends up happening is the folks that depend on the resources at community libraries like this one here in the heart of the city of Buffalo start to see those services whittled away. We cannot allow that to happen. Our tax dollars go to pay for these services that are provided at these wonderful libraries across our community, and we expect that that funding will be there.
Does this feel like another Trump administration policy that targets blue states disproportionately? I believe New York has more libraries than any other state in the country.
It wouldn't surprise me, Ryan, but I will tell you that every state in the entire nation is impacted by this. This goes to a simple fact that $266 million for the Institute of Museum and Library Services is being cut, which amounts to 0.03% of the overall federal budget. You know what they're gonna do with that money? They're gonna put it into tax breaks for the billionaires and the ultra wealthy in this country. That's why it is so unacceptable. That is why we're standing here today fighting back. Not only is it totally wrong-headed, it's illegal. And so it can't happen, it shouldn't happen, and hopefully the courts will stand with us and it won't happen.
Is there any push underway maybe to, like, you know, from your standpoint as far as making this a court thing? You know, I know that
it is.
Judges, federal judges, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, a couple things. So there is a court case right now that has been put forward by our attorney general and other attorneys general across the country on this very topic and a number of other agencies that were negatively impacted by the executive order on March 14th. That being said, what we can also do is stand up, use our voices like we are here today, and push back against the administration and let them know that the people are not going to stand for this. And we deserve better than what's coming out of the White House and the Republican majority-led Congress in the moment. And we just need a few people to stand up, get a spine and a backbone, and fight back against this administration and say that they won't vote for cuts to vital services, for cuts to Medicaid, for cuts to Social Security, and for cuts to essential resources in our communities like our libraries. All right. Thank you, everybody.